Hi, everybody. My name is Josh Nason. This is Josh Nason's Punch-Out here on WrestlingObserver.com. Welcome back. Taking a quick break from the Pro Wrestling Year in Review series to talk to a newsmaker from 2025, that being Dave LaGreca of Busted Open. I've wanted to talk to Dave for quite some time, especially now because they are six months into the first ever 24/7 pro wrestling radio station on Sirius XM. That's right. Busted Open is a big part of that. So I want to talk to Dave about that, how that process came about, and talk about the show, his career, some things you might not know, and all types of other stuff as well, including some criticism that the show's got for maybe being too pro-WWE and so on. We talk about Tony Khan, his relationship with him, and a bunch of other stuff as well. This is a fun conversation, about 45 minutes. I think you'll really enjoy it. And any preconceived notions you may have, Dave, just throw them out the window and check this one out. Trust me. Dave LaGreca, Busted Open Radio, talking about the year that was in 2025 with Sirius XM and a bunch of other stuff as well. Enjoy. So as I've been going through my 12-part pro wrestling year in review series, looking back at 2025, of course, a lot of stuck out as it usually does. But as always, there's a few things that do get overlooked just due to the sheer amount of news and happenings. One of those things was the continued development of Busted Open and its growth to becoming the centerpiece of Pro Wrestling Nation, of course, on Sirius XM, the first 24/7 radio channel dedicated entirely to pro wrestling, something that was inconceivable when the show first launched in 2009. So for an early holiday treat, the driving force behind that effort joins me. And with that, I welcome the 2023 International Professional Wrestling Hall of Famer, the founder and lead host of Busted Open and Busted Open Nation, the one man himself, Dave LaGreca. Dave, this is great. We talked before. I told you how excited I was. I'll say it on air. Super excited to have you here and glad to be talking with you today.
I appreciate the time. Thank you so much. And it means a lot that I'm able to do this for the pro wrestling community. To have a 24/7 channel on Sirius XM, I think is a big deal. And I think it shows you how mainstream pro wrestling has become.
Yeah, it certainly has. You know, when I was, so you and I have never met, although we have been about a foot apart. And that was at AEW Full Gear in Newark, New Jersey in 2023, I think it might have been.
I have the chair right here. Yeah, November 23rd, 2024.
Okay. So you were sitting in front of me, and it was between matches. I was kind of looking around, and I was just like, oh, I think that's Dave LaGreca right there. And this is gonna sound like I was eavesdropping. I swear it wasn't. You had your phone went like this, and I saw something Bubba Ray or Bully Ray was texting you. And I didn't read the text. Also, I looked down, I'm like, that is Dave LaGreca right there. So I thought that was funny. So we've never officially met, but we've sat, you know, very close to each other. That was a fun night.
Yeah, Josh, you know what's fun? Was that the show that I was sitting in the front row?
No, sorry, the Full Gear show. You were sitting in the stands.
Okay, because it was the year before, because the one in 2024 last year, I actually went with a fan. Like a fan, oh, okay. a fan got Mike from Hoboken, who's a loyal Nation member, reached out to me and said, hey, I have an extra ticket. Would you like to go? And I said, sure. So I didn't go as a member of the media. I just went like with a Busted Open Nation member.
Yeah. And you're with Gabby, I think. Was Gabby still with you at the time, or she already?
Yeah.
Split?
So that was definitely before then. That must have been 2022.
Yeah, that was a while ago. Yeah. I recognize her because all the fans were getting pictures with her. I'm like, Dave's sitting right there.
Gabby. Yeah. Now you know it's great to see Gabby because she has her own podcast now and she's doing well. So, yeah. But that's fun. But I love. I love going to Newark. I love going to the Prudential Center. It's one of my favorite places to see a show. Yeah. So
you know, I was thinking about questions and talking points and things like that. The first thing that came to mind is almost a congratulations on surviving, right? Because, you know, radio is tough. It's a brutal business, terrestrial or non-terrestrial. But 16 years later, we're sitting here talking about where the show is 24 hours a day. At the risk of, you know, sound cliche, you know, Busted Open feels like it's just getting started.
Yeah, I'm very happy with the progress of the show, and thank you for the compliments. It means a lot because, you know, pro wrestling for the most part, as you probably know, doesn't get the credit. You know, it's much difficult to get recognition on a major platform, you know, like you see for baseball and basketball and for football, because it's pro wrestling. I think that's changing. And I think a big reason for that is the fans. We're only as big as we are because there's a need for it and there's a want for it. So, you know, we've grown from 1 hour once a week to now 24 hours, 7 days a week. But that's because it's because of the fans and because there's that hunger for pro wrestling talk. And I'd like to think that we kind of changed the landscape a little bit. When I started the show with Doug Mortman, we wanted it to be like a sports talk radio show. And sports talk radio is extremely popular. And I'm glad that we're able to bring this to pro wrestling.
Yeah. So your backstory I found was really interesting. So a lot of people may assume you were a DJ, you know, an on-air personality forever. You got started this, you were 30 years old. You were a bank manager, divorced. Mm-hmm. You lost your home. Mm-hmm. You decided to hit the reset button. You started an internship at WFAN.
Yep.
And it went from there. Then you ended up with Sirius XM being a morning producer for their NFL channel, if I have that right. And that's when you really started to kind of push for the job. And you mentioned Doug Mortman and pitching it to Steve Cohen. But that's a fascinating story. Yeah, starting out 1 hour and look where we are today.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing and some things that I like to preach to people is what you just said, hitting that reset button. You're 100% right. I was a bank manager. The bank that I was working for got bought out. So I lost my job. My wife divorced me, and I, because of both those things happening, I lost my home. Yeah. So, I started back from square one, and you have to have the mindset of hitting a reset and starting something new. Now, I knew that it was an opportunity to do something that I was really passionate about and what I really wanted to do, and that was radio. Those things that seem like the worst thing that could possibly happen to me in that moment turned out the best thing that could happen to me in that moment, because it gave me the opportunity to pursue a dream. So, you know, it's kind of a lesson to learn that when you think you're in the worst possible part of your life, it actually could catapult you to do what you've always wanted to do and have the best part of your life. And I think that's what happened when I hit that, as you said, hit that reset button.
Yeah. And a lot of people, as you know, they can go one or two ways when they hit those inflection points, those barriers, and they can be like, my life is screwed, I can do whatever. Or they take a risk, and not every risk works, but one leads to another. And yeah, it's again, that's another story of survival. And now look at you, right? I mean, it's you're living the life that I'm sure that you always wanted. And here you are with adoring fans and 24 hours a day. And it's just a crazy story. It's a good story of inspiration, not just a wrestling story. It's a media story. It's a success story. You should be very proud of that.
Yeah, and thank you very much. I am very proud of it. But I'm also very thankful for the team of people that I've associated myself with throughout this time, because it really does take a team to make this a reality. I didn't have it at first, but over time, I really got people that believed in me, believed in the show, believed in pro wrestling, and now we are where we are. And it's not lost on me. I truly appreciate each moment of the last 16 plus years.
Yeah. So Doug was he was the early first co-host, and he was also a SiriusXM exec at the time. What led to him not staying with the show? Was he too busy, or just what happened?
Yeah, he's still with SiriusXM.
Oh, wow.
I you know, we still talk, we're still very good friends. He came to a crossroads in his career for the show to move forward and to grow. Unfortunately, Doug couldn't be a part of it because Doug had other responsibilities that would prevent him from doing that. So Doug's always going to be an original. Doug's always going to be a part of the spirit of what we do. But he came to a crossroads. He has an excellent job at SiriusXM. He's a VP at SiriusXM. So hard to walk away from something like that to do this, especially at the time when we weren't really sure what the future of this brand would be. But Doug has been a big help and inspiration, even if he hasn't been behind the microphone.
Yeah. And thinking back to like 2009. And so I believe you're in your early 50s. I'm in my late 40s. I remember, you remember a time when you could not get wrestling talk, right? There just was not a lot out there. It was really before the Big Boom podcast.
Yeah.
Well, I think Dave Meltzer was doing some stuff in Wrestling Observer Radio, also on IATA, which was like the early, the precursor kind of a lot of what we have now, but the company went out of business. It was just a big disaster. And anytime you could get anything in that era, you gravitated to, because you wanted to listen to stuff that, again, kind of like your point out, like wrestling doesn't really get the credit of being able to be talked about, like NBA, NFL, and all that stuff. And as you know, even then, there was interesting stuff to talk about. There was movement. There was just the match themselves, all these things that we couldn't really get that. So I think, you know, shows like yours early on really kind of helped start to fill that void and show people like, yeah, there's an audience for this and people really want to listen to it. People that really enjoy it.
Yeah. It's funny. You mentioned IATA, which, you know, it was internet radio, very early on. And when I started at SiriusXM, I started at SiriusXM at 2004, you know, now well over 20 years ago. I didn't know what the future, I thought it might be an IATA situation where it's a great idea, great concept, but are there going to be people actually listening? This show's grown with the popularity of satellite radio and SiriusXM. Like in 2004, you never thought there'd be a time where terrestrial radio would be almost irrelevant. And that's what has kind of become over the course of the last two decades. Like the landscape has changed, and I felt like Sirius has always been ahead of the curve when it comes to those things. So a lot of it's just like you said, man, the blueprint is completely changed for how people consume media, and you know, especially as we're closing in on 2026.
Yeah. So I know I've listened to some previous interviews with you, and I get asked about your brother Don a lot, who's a well-known sports personality and media personality in that area. It must feel good for you, and also validating that you have your own bag, so to speak. You have your own thing you've built, and so it's not just, oh, that's Don's brother. It's, oh, those are the LaGreca brothers, right? They have their own thing. Their own thing. It must feel good.
I learned a lot from Don, and the biggest thing I learned from my brother Don is my brother was a big hockey guy, and I like to compare pro wrestling to hockey. It's not the major sport that everybody talks about, like football and baseball and basketball. It is dedicated to the hardcore fan like pro wrestling is. But the way that media is now, that's a good thing, because as you know, wrestling fans want to consume everything. They love it. They live, sleep, and breathe it. So they want to consume everything. But yet not everybody does it. And not everybody does it well. My brother knew that early on with hockey. You know, he was Donnie Pucks. As much as he talked about baseball and football, he knew that if he can make a name for himself and a foundation with hockey, not everybody was doing that. It's the same thing with wrestling. Not everybody's doing it. There are so many shows dedicated to baseball and football, but there's not a lot of shows dedicated to hockey. And my brother knew that was his bag. And look at now, he's the voice of the Devils. And I knew with wrestling, something that I was extremely passionate about, there wasn't a lot of outlets for it. So I made that my thing. And now we have a 24/7 channel. So I think I like what you said about, you know, we each kind of have our own bag. But it's also the hardcore audience will follow it. And I think we both realized that early on.
Yeah. It's interesting you bring up hockey. I worked in hockey for seven seasons in a front office. And it's true. It is it's niche, but it's like a family. And it's a collective. Like everyone kind of knows, like we may not be fully mainstream like your NFLs or all that stuff, but we love it and we talk about it. And it's a, My daughter just started a learn to play hockey program, and you can tell just immediately there's this like community thing of just like, we're, she played softball, and it was tough to get coaches. With hockey, there was like six or seven dads out on the ice helping. It's a real community thing. And wrestling is the same thing. It's just something that I know you started watching when it was, I believe, Georgia Championship Wrestling, like around age 10 or something like that, if I remember right. And it's when it gets in you, like it's in you, like it doesn't leave.
First of all, you're killing it. You're killing it with the analogies today, because I agree with you with the family, and I agree with you with the community. Even though sometimes like social media could get toxic and there's tribalism, I still think at the end of the day, we're a community. One thing I've preached on this show is, and I think the proof is in the pudding. Like I know I'm a part of this community. So if anybody has a podcast or a show that they want to promote, yes, come on the air, promote it. Like, nope, we're not in competition with one another. I really do feel like we're a part of that same community. So I do get that family atmosphere when it comes to pro wrestling. And you're 100% right. When you fall in love with it, it stays a part of you forever. Yeah. Like it's in your blood. It's always the whole thing. Like, for those who don't understand it, there's no explanation. And for those who get it, there's no explanation that's necessary. Exactly. You can't put it into words, but it's always a part of you. And wrestling will, from the day I watched it for the first time when I was 10, it's always been a part of my life.
Yep, exactly. Let's talk about this year, quite a year. When did the conversations first begin to go to 24 hours, exploring those options?
I think we got some amazing executives here at SiriusXM that are either new to the company or have changed position and were in position to make decisions. And, you know, we have a lot of people that are a part of SiriusXM that saw the growth of this show and believed in it. And I feel like it was 2 years ago when I really started to talk more and more about it on the air. And Bully and I were on the air, and just organically, we talked about Busted Open 24/7. And by the end of the show, we were trending number one in the country. Not in radio, not in sports, but we were trending number one. Like, the number one trend in the United States. And I think that's the first time that they really took notice that there was something really big with this show, and there was the possibility to have this grow into a channel. But I mentioned two names, Eric Spitz and Jared Fox, who are decision makers with SiriusXM, that believed in me and believed in the show and believed that making this 24/7 would really work.
Yeah, and it helps too, because you have a lot of WWE, but you also have AEW, TNA, New Japan, MLW, now AAA and CMLL are conversation pieces. Like, there's no, you know, as we were talking about earlier, there's no shortage of new things to talk about. Where, you know, when you started in 2009 with WWE and we had TNA, and that was really about, I mean, we had obviously New Japan, things like that, but not the, you know, having YouTube and having streaming services, it's allowed us to just see the world. Even indies, you know, like GCW and things like that, Deadlock and everything. There's no shortage of things to talk about and interesting things to talk about. And it just seems kind of like the perfect marriage of the right time and the right kind of vehicle to do that.
Yeah, I think it goes, it's ebbs and flows. Yeah. Like, when you're right, when we started in 2009, it was 90% about the WWE, and we tried to talk as much TNA as possible. You know, now you have a wrestling show on every night. You know, there's Raw on Mondays, NXT Tuesdays, you know, Dynamite on Wednesdays. Now TNA is going to be on a major platform on Thursday, SmackDown on Friday, and then all the pay-per-views and stuff. New Japan is having their big show, Wrestle Kingdom 20, coming up in a couple weeks. So there's just so much to consume. And I really kind of let it be decided by the fans. What do fans want to talk about? There was a time, Josh, that AEW was the big topic, and most of what we were talking about was AEW. Now it's the WWE, but that tide can turn at any moment.
Sure.
At any time, it can turn. But I think there's so much to consume. Why couldn't we do it? You know, look at the NFL. There's on SiriusXM, we have a 24/7 NFL channel. Well, the NFL is only live for a few months out of the year. And the games are a couple of times a week. We have shows on every night, so we have no problem filling programming.
Yeah, it's
there's
crazy.
No off season. There's no off season.
There isn't. What have you? So this launched in July. What have you learned 6 months in? And what is your what's your role beyond on air? What's your influence in terms of the channel and so on?
Well, we have a program director and an executive producer who do a fantastic job. Eddie Bersilli and Paul Ehrlich do a great job, and there's a lot to it. Managing the talent, managing the shows. You know, they. What I love about Eddie as a program director, we really kind of like two minds. And Eddie is new to pro wrestling, but he's not new to being in that position. So he kind of leans on me when it comes to the X's and O's of pro wrestling, and I lean on him when it comes to more of the executive things. And I feel like it's a perfect marriage between the two. They've given me a big role when it comes to creativity and decision making, and I think we have a really good team in place. But it goes, like you said, long after the show is over, I'm still working. You know, as soon as this show is over with you and I have a meeting, you know, waiting because we have a year-end award show.
Oh yeah,
that's coming up today. So. Like, you know, there's, you know, remotes. And I know that's something that we want to do more of is we want to be on the road more and be in front of the fans more. We want to expand the programming as much as possible. So it's a lot. There's no turning it on and turning it off. It really is, you know, a 24/7 daily channel that needs 24/7 attention and care.
Yeah. So something else happened this year, The Rock.
Yes.
Out with you going on a rant on about him.
And now Becky Lynch is after me too, but that's another story.
Oh boy, you never know, right? So I listened to that and I agreed. He no-showed WrestleMania 41. I just don't. He can say whatever he wants. It just didn't make any sense to me. And then he replied to you with a bit of a dismissive, "Stop ranting. It's not healthy, my friend. Enjoy the show." There's the whole quote, and just the enjoy the show. I just think is always just the biggest head pat. I can't stand when people do that, you know? So you replied to that. And then in October, you two actually met in the halls of SiriusXM, and that was a capture on social media. Talk about your year with The Rock and in that moment and when did you find out he's going to be there and all that?
Well, the one great thing about Busted Open and the popularity is, you know, Josh, there was a time I would talk on the air and nobody cared. Now there's a time where you talk on the air and all ears are open to what you're saying. Like, I have to realize that fact that what I say on the air carries a lot of weight. So when I went on that rant, it grabbed his attention. It really started when The Rock showed up on SmackDown and took Cody Rhodes' match away from him for WrestleMania against Roman. And I went on a rant. He saw it and he went a rant on me, and it just started from there. And when I went on my rant, I was so distraught and so upset, Josh, that I didn't even shower. I didn't even get dressed. I just grabbed my wife's robe, my wife's pink Victoria's Secret robe, and put it on and did the show in her robe. And, you know, obviously that picture, that video of me is what The Rock used when he went on his passionate rant about me. But, you know, we never met face to face. We never spoke. Like, what you saw is what I saw. We didn't have a conversation. We didn't talk. We didn't know where this was going. It was me really talking about the passion and love that I have and him looking at it in a completely different way. And then I heard that he was going to be at Sirius. He wasn't doing any interviews. He was doing one event for the open of Smashing Machine.
Yeah, the town hall, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to wait in the hallway and see if he walks by. And I had the rope and thankfully he walked by, he recognized me, he took the robe, and then we had a really good interaction. And you know, I mentioned WrestleMania 40, like we could have used you at WrestleMania 41. And then he goes, you know, hey, I loved your, like, I was like that, you know, I told him, I said, that was 100% real. Like, I was like, that's no, you know, and the, it wasn't just a moment of me giving him the robe. It's him going to social media the next day and talking about how much that gesture meant to him and how much getting that robe for me meant to him, that even though maybe we weren't on the same page, that pro wrestlers and pro wrestling fans have their own language and their own way of communicating. And, you know, he congratulated me on the show and the new channel. That meant the world to me, because it what it shows you, Josh, it goes back to what you said about us being a community and a family. It's not just the fans, it's the wrestlers themselves as well. We're all part of that same community. And the world got much smaller in that moment to me, that this robe and our love for pro wrestling brought two guys that are in completely different ends of the spectrum. You have The Rock, who's this major superstar, who's the biggest box office draw, Smashing Machine aside, but the biggest box office draw that there is in entertainment, and this radio host. But in that moment, we're all just two 10-year-old kids watching pro wrestling on TV. So. Sure.
Yeah, well put. So you mentioned you're on social media, and what do you think, there's a lot of, you know, positives and people talk about this. What do you, about Busted Open, what do you think is the biggest critique or critiques of your show?
I think because there's a lot of tribalism. I think when I say, there have been times where I've been called an AEW shill. And I'm on AEW's payroll. You know, Tony Khan for a while was coming on a weekly basis. So when I love AEW, oh, you're on their payroll, you're a shill. And then when I love WWE, you're on their payroll, you're a shill. I get paid by one company, and that's SiriusXM. I don't get paid by anybody else. But you know what? Like, I know it aggravates and angers a lot of people. It really doesn't to me. You know, fans love and have their favorites, and they're passionate. So, you know, I'm not going to change people's minds. I give you what I feel in that moment. I don't play favorites. I think my work speaks for itself. But I've actually, Josh, like recently, I've done my best to stay off of social media. I don't think social media does any good. Like, I will post to promote things, but looking at comments and reading comments, I just don't think it's healthy. So I've kind of have found myself distancing myself as far as I can from social media, or at least certain aspects of social media.
Yeah. Do you find it as the host that obviously you have Bully, who, you know, WWE LFG and WWE Hall of Fame and so on. You have Nick Nemeth, obviously associated with TNA. Natty has her show. And Mark Henry is associated. Do you feel like you have to, I want to say not referee, but like kind of gauge, like try to keep things kind of in the middle if you sense that maybe there's a little bit of them leaning towards the one place that does give them checks? That's the one criticism I do see a little bit. It's like, well, there's no AEW people, so many WWE. So there's that, even if they don't listen, right? There's that assumption like, oh, they're pro this and they're anti this. But
well, absolutely. But we do have AEW. We have Thunder Rosa, who works for AEW. So I understand, like, we have Bully, who's got a Legends contract, Mark, that has a Legends contract, Tommy's with TNA, Nick's with TNA, Natty. You know, we have Thunder Rosa, who's with AEW. You know, we have Bishop Dyer, formerly Baron Corbin, who's with MLW right now. You know, you could take the other stance, like, you know, Bishop is no longer with the WWE. You know, Coach is one of our hosts who's no longer with the WWE. I understand the criticism, But at the same time, if you really look at our channel, I think there is a lot of diversity, with the array of companies that are out there right now. And quite frankly, with the WWE, and I'm being completely honest here, they are the biggest company. So a lot of our conversation is going to sway a little bit more towards WWE, especially on a mainstream platform like SiriusXM, because most wrestling fans are watching WWE, but I do try to balance it. I think Nick and I do a really good job on Thursday mornings talking about AEW. But listen, I understand the criticism, and it's something that we're working on. We want to be as diverse as possible so that everyone feels like they're getting their fair shake.
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity for these co-hosts to watch. There's always the fear, right, that people watch with a, I'm not going to like this, right? And so many people do that. That's about why tribalism is the worst. But my hope as a listener, and I think others as well, is that some of these other co-hosts are listening with it, are watching with an open mind. And they're saying whatever they want to say that they feel like, if they don't like it or do like it, for either side or any promotion that they watch for so on, you know?
But then Justin, then that's on me. Like, then I have to, as the lead host, like, the one thing that I do, I'm a fan of AEW. Now, have I criticized AEW? Absolutely. And that's one of the other things that I think, especially with AEW fans, and I completely understand that they're very, you know, they're very thin-skinned when it comes to criticism for AEW, because quite frankly, there's a lot of people who are very critical of AEW, and some of it I don't think is warranted. Yeah. So I think a lot of fans of AEW are a little sensitive towards certain criticisms. But if you've listened to me over the years, I would say that probably 90% of what I say about AEW is praising it. I'm a fan of AEW. So if I'm having a co-host that's critical, then I got to make sure that I give my fair take of what I felt of it. And sometimes it's going to be different than what my co-host feels of it as well.
Right. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. I think in any form, I think people always like, yeah, what people think. It's so hard because you and I come from a generation where people just debated things and they didn't hate each other, you know, and politics was boring, and, you know, but now it's just everyone is just so
divisive. You know, it's divisive. And, you know, you're right. Like, I always say this all the time. When I was growing up, they always said, don't ever talk about politics and religion, because if you have your way of thinking and I think of a certain way, I'm not going to make you, I'm not changing your mind. If you and I are having a discussion about politics, like, and you're on one side and I'm on the other, there's most likely nothing I could possibly say that's going to make you change your mind on how you look at things. So why even had the discussion? Because what is it going to end up being? An argument and a fight, and we're going to butt heads. But now it's like, people love it. People love the butting of the heads. They love the arguing. They love the divisiveness. At the end of the day, I'm a wrestling fan, and I want to have fun talking wrestling. Yeah. And then there's certain shows where there is the butting of the heads and there's arguing, and then there's certain shows where it's just a celebration of pro wrestling. So I hope we give, like, every single side of that on Pro Wrestling Nation 24/7. I really hope it. And I also feel like this, I'm not just saying this, I really feel this way. I think that fans are kind of fed up with the negativity. I think they're kind of fed up with over-the-top criticism. I think they're fed up with it. And I find myself really leaning towards celebrating it more than criticizing it, because I think fans are tired of it. I really do. Yeah. Like, why, you know, and I was actually talking about this with an executive at SiriusXM. I said, would you put a show on the NFL channel where all that person did was hate on football? Like, oh God, the football was so much better 30 years ago, and why the referees suck, and, you know, no, because people who tune into the NFL channel love football and want to hear about football. I think it's the same thing with wrestling. I think we've gotten so far off of the road where it's like, man, people who are listening are wrestling fans. Why do they want to hear constant criticism and how bad pro, how can, first of all, how can you say how bad pro wrestling is when, you know, we had, you know, 55,000 fans for SummerSlam two nights, or, you know, 75,000 last year for the Royal Rumble, or all these sellout crowds, even like a show like AEW that's only been around for a short time, you know, at Full Gear this past November, they had over 10,000 fans. That would have been impossible, you know, 10 years ago. Yeah. A company outside of the WWE drawing anywhere near that. So I think the number shows itself that this is very, very popular and people love it.
Yeah, I agree. I want to talk about TK real quick as we start to round the bend. Tony Khan. So you mentioned he was on, used to be on every week, and yes, now it's mainly kind of when he's in the area, and yeah, like a sit down interview, things like that. Yeah, you know, you've been around a lot of promoters, been around a lot of wrestlers, talked to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, both on air and also off air in your private conversations, so on. What are your thoughts about Tony Khan as a person and owner, and kind of how he fits in the wrestling landscape?
I love Tony Khan. Now there are things that have happened on the show, like booking wise, that, you know, I would have thought could have been done better, possibly. But again, I'm not in that position. You know, who am I to criticize when I'm not in that's just Monday morning quarterbacking. But one of the things I used to love about Tony Khan when he used to come on every week, and even when I get to see him now, when the mics are off, we wind up sitting for 45 minutes talking about wrestling.
Yeah.
Like I'm in Tony Khan's corner. I he's a fan and he loves it and he's passionate about it. And I think he has the fans' best interest at heart. I really do. And like, he gets criticized about, well, you know, the business. I think with Tony Khan, even before making money, he's thinking about putting on a product that the fans are going to like. And that's, you know, to me, that's honorable. I some people might think it's crazy. Some people might think it's silly. But I find it kind of honorable that even before making the money, he's thinking about, hey, my name's on this product. I want to make a product that where the fans are going to love it and they're going to enjoy it. I think that's his first thought in his head before even thinking about how many asses are going to be in seats and, you know, how much merchandise he's going to sell. I feel like he's putting on a show that he's going to love because he's a wrestling fan.
Yeah. The business is much better off with AEW in it.
Yes.
Because there's more place for not only wrestlers to work, but all the backstage people, all these people that wouldn't have a role in WWE or really couldn't maybe get TNA or what have you. They have an opportunity and just so much talent there that gets an opportunity also to make more money. You know, now that's a good thing. And these rosters are so huge. There's more talented wrestlers than ever before. They have now a bigger place to work and more stuff for us to watch. I think, and Tony Khan has created something that allows us to critique it in a way of like, because we care about it. We give a shit. You know, we're wrestling fans. We love it. And if we didn't, and we're like, that's fine, then they wouldn't mean anything.
Yeah, and I think what's hurt AEW is that the WWE got hot. And Josh, you noticed when AEW first started, the WWE is the lowest of the lows. Like, creatively, it was the pits. I think AEW came in at the best time. And listen, there's going to be ebbs and flows to business. That same with WWE. There were times, you know, WWE would have pay-per-views and there'd be only 6 or 7,000 people in the crowd. You know, now it's hot, but who knows? Maybe we're having this conversation this time next year and it's completely on the other side.
Yeah.
All it takes is a moment, a match, something that could change things at the drop of a dime. So, listen, again, the fact that you have another company that can fill an arena, you didn't have that a decade ago. So I think that, and now you have TNA on a major network and they're getting the biggest houses that they've ever had in their history. I think it shows you that this business is very, very healthy right now.
Yeah. So speaking of healthy, let's look ahead to 2026 for Busted Open. Can you give us a preview of maybe some new things that might be on the horizon, things you're looking to do, places you're going to go? Where are we looking at 2026? It'll be the first full year of 24/7.
Yeah, you know, it's, first of all, we just got the channel. It just started in July. So I want to get the best product as possible out there for us. You know, we want to use our YouTube page more. We're doing a lot with our podcast. So I think right now for 2026, we have all our goals in place. We just want to make the best product possible for the Busted Open Nation. Also, Keith Elliott Greenberg, the amazing author, pro wrestling author, used to write for the WWF magazine. He did, you know, the book on Freddie Blassie, the book on Ric Flair. He's an amazing author. He's writing a book on Busted Open that hopefully will be out by the end of 2026. So that's something that, great, you know, Keith Elliott Greenberg is writing a story about our story, which I find phenomenal. So fans can look forward to that. And listen, we're going to have to get creative too. We always have our WrestleMania party. You know, WrestleMania is going to be in Saudi in 2027. So obviously we're going to have to be creative with our events. You know, the Royal Rumble is going to be in Saudi Arabia. So we have to get creative with our events. So, you know, there's the live, you know, the live product that's on SiriusXM. There's the podcast. We have two podcasts. We have the Busted Open podcast and we have the Masters Class. We have our YouTube page. And then we're going to do a lot more live events in front of the fans in 2026. So a lot to look forward to.
Yeah. Can you really briefly explain the Masters Class approach? It's basically your group of hosts. You were in Tommy or Mark or whoever happens to be there, and you, and Bully, and you talk about a specific topic for an extended period of time. You want to give an example of that?
Yeah. So like it would be it's myself, Tommy, Bully, and Mark. But I'm just the monitor. I just bring. It's really a topic that only the wrestler can talk about. It's not the fans' perspective, which is what you get on Busted Open. It's whatever that topic is, but it's the pro wrestler's point of view of that topic, so it's kind of like a master's class for other wrestlers, but also for the fans to get that side that you don't normally hear, and you're getting it from Tommy, from Mark, and from Bully.
Gotcha, and you get that obviously in podcast form, yeah, and. The town halls, do you think you ever do more of those, given that you're in the media capital of the world, New York City? You have all these companies and people that come through all the time. You have a fan base that'll show up. Yeah, is that a possibility to maybe expand and do more of those?
1,000%. We did one with MJF and it was a huge hit. So, you know, and that's the other thing too. People say, oh, LaGreca, you know, talking our first ever town hall was with MJF. That was our first ever town hall. So yes, that's something we definitely would want to do. I'm in talks already with some wrestlers, and hopefully that's something that we'll be doing early in 2026.
Tony Khan would be great. Paul Levesque would be great if he ever was doing
that. And listen, that's the other thing too. Like Triple H, you know, I've only had one opportunity to sit down and interview Triple H. I've interviewed Tony Khan. I would need a calculator to calculate how many times I've sat down and talked to Tony Khan. Much more accessible, fan accessible, but I would love the opportunity to talk to Triple H. I would love the opportunity to do a town hall with Cody Rhodes. We'll see.
You still have the hot sauce?
Got it right here. Got the hot sauce.
Look at that.
Also go to Sprecher. And out in Milwaukee, a Busted Open root beer.
Oh, look at that. Yeah.
And then obviously you go to, you know, SiriusXMStore.com/Busted Open for all the Pro Wrestling Nation 24/7 and Busted Open merchandise as well. So
that's great. Well, obviously you can listen to the show on SiriusXM live or on demand. The app is great because you can flip between segments. If you're like, I really want to listen to this, but I have to check out this part later, you can flip. Everything stays in catalog there. Perfect. You can check it out, of course, in podcast form. Free clips. I was watching today, actually on YouTube as well. You pulled out the 30-minute talks you had about John Cena. After John Cena's last match on Monday, it was a 30-minute clip. You did an 11-minute follow-up yesterday. Those are really great for just on-the-go type of stuff as well. And also for subscribers, you can link that account too. And there's also kind of, as mentioned, on YouTube. Of course, you're on Twitter, Instagram. Did I get everything else? What am I forgetting, Dave?
No, you've got it covered.
Good.
You know, it's not just a radio show. It's a brand, and I thank the fans for making it as big as it is. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Very good stuff. Well, Dave LaGreca, best of luck in the year ahead. Looking forward to seeing what new things are coming down the pipe, and as you grow, the network has been great. But congratulations on a big 2025, and years and years of success and overnight success. All these years in the making, right? That's what they say.
yeah, sure.
Good stuff. Well, Dave, thanks so much for joining me, and happy holidays.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
Okay, big thanks to Dave for stopping by. I hope you listened to the whole thing, and I hope you enjoyed it. I'm sure you did. So let me know. You hit me up on Twitter or Blue Sky if you choose. Josh Nason, JOSHNASON. You can also follow Dave LaGreca as well. I believe Dave LaGreca won. Should be easy to find. He'll be tagged in the tweets for this interview. And yeah, I had fun time talking to him. Very passionate about the business, and yeah, very good stuff there. The year interview series will continue September and October coming up right away, coming up in the next few days. September will be up on Friday, and then October will be up either Monday or Tuesday of next week, and then November, December, and how about that? Just like that, we're done. Also working on a couple other year-end, year interview type things as well in the next few weeks. Want to finish strong here, of course, leading into the first week of January, which will feature the December look back, because we get every single thing that happened. Paul Fontaine is rejoining me for that show and some other things as well. News ahead. You never know. So you have a lot of choice in your podcast day. I greatly appreciate the time you spend with me or any of the fine hosts here at WrestlingObserver.com. And until next time, this has been Josh Nason. Insert catchphrase here.